Hello and welcome back to the Living Life Podcast, where we study the Bible for lives deeply rooted in love and prepared to impact our world for Christ. I'm Samantha Shambo, and I'm so glad that you've chosen to spend this time with us today. We are continuing our conversation on discernment for 2026. This is a vital topic, especially in a season when so many things can obscure God's purposes for our lives. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us see clearly in this new year. Please make time to read the scriptures, and I've provided Bible study work pages to help you as you go deeper in your studies. You can find them on my website, itsamantashambo.com. Now let's move on to today's topic. Hey, clouds discernment from 1 John 2 verse 9 to 27. Now I know what some of you may be thinking. This episode doesn't apply to me. I don't hate anyone. But I want to invite you to stay with me, because while hate is a strong word, it often shows up in subtle and unexpected ways. My initial response to this passage was much the same. I thought it's a good thing that I don't hate anyone. However, as I continued to meditate, the Holy Spirit reminded me of one of the ways that I tend to protect myself. I have a disposition that says, I will forgive you, but I won't forget. And what this means in practice is that I forgive people who have harmed me, but I also cut myself off from them so they don't have the opportunity to hurt me again. This is a very rational response, but it's not always the godly response. Because there are times when God wants us to minister to those who have wounded us. I remember one occasion when a woman spoke about me behind my back. She misrepresented me, and I was left feeling so humiliated and deeply hurt. And as my usual response, I resolved to distance myself from her. However, sometime later, she found herself in need and asked my family for financial help. My immediate reaction was resistance. I remember thinking she must be joking after all she said about me. But the Holy Spirit convicted me of my attitude and prompted me to help. The point of the story is that I judged myself to be forgiving and loving when in reality I was not. My resentment and my unwillingness to help revealed the true state of my heart. Hate in the New Testament is far more complex than our everyday understanding of the word. I believe John had the words of Jesus in mind when he wrote this passage. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 21 to 22? You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable for judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you are liable to the hell of fire. These words from Jesus form the background for John's teachings. They suggest that our actions often reveal more about the true state of our hearts than our intentions and our self-perceptions. And when we recognize that we fall short, we are invited to correct our course so we may remain open and attentive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As we will see in the writings of John, even small degrees of hate, whether expressed openly or hidden in the heart, can draw us into darkness. And when we walk in darkness, it becomes very difficult to hear God's voice or to discern His leading for our lives. But why would John feel the need to talk about hate? John talks about hate because the churches that he was ministering to were living through a painful combination of internal friction and external hostility. Both threatened their spiritual discernment. These churches were not dealing with mild disagreements. They were facing relational rupture. Some members left the community, but still claimed spiritual authority. They asserted superior knowledge and spirituality, and they rejected the core teachings about Jesus. John called them Antichrist, and he describes this directly in 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. John does not sugarcoat the situation. This was a relational breakup in the family of God. It is not just a disagreement. John calls it hate. These people claimed enlightenment and they claimed knowledge of God and superior spirituality, but their lives showed disdain for others and a lack of compassion. This is why John says, whoever claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. 1 John 2 verse 9. The community was trying to discern truth in a confusing moment. They faced false teachings and competing interpretations of Jesus. But in the process, their boundaries hardened and people just became categories. That is why John insists that you cannot defend the truth by abandoning love. Claiming spiritual knowledge without love is just darkness. The church also faced external hostility from the world. They faced rejection from synagogue communities, social marginalization, and hostility for confessing Jesus as the Messiah. So this is why John tells them, the world hates you because you are not of the world. John encourages them not to allow hatred from the outside to cause them to withdraw from the world or to harden their hearts or to reflect the hostility around him. Instead, he encourages them to choose to follow Jesus' example. All these challenges presented the church with a crisis in discernment. What truly marks the life of God? How should we respond to people who disagree with us or harm us? This is John's response. Any faith that abandons love has already lost the light. So, what does John actually mean by hate? Before we go any further, I want us to pause to talk about what John actually means when he uses the word hate. Because if we hear this word only through our modern understanding, we may miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us. The Greek word John uses is meseo. While it's often translated as hate in John's writings, it doesn't usually describe explosive anger or hostility. It describes a relational posture of refusal, the decision to withdraw love or to withhold compassion or to close oneself when love becomes too costly. John is not primarily concerned with how strongly we feel, but how do we relate to each other? I know that many of us can honestly say, I don't hate anyone. But we still miss when John is getting it. Because for John, hate often shows up not as aggression, but as distance. It can sound like, I've forgiven them, but I don't want anything to do with them. Or it can sound like, after what they did, someone else can help them. The following responses may never be spoken aloud, but here are some more situations where hate might hide. When I feel lingering bitterness, or when I rehearse offenses. When I have a desire for vindication rather than restoration. Or when I have an inability to rejoice when someone else experiences something good. Or when I constantly feel suspicious and I struggle to trust other people. These responses feel reasonable and sometimes boundaries are necessary. But hate appears when distance becomes a refusal to love. This is why John says that hate leads to darkness and darkness clouds discernment. When love is withheld, even in small degrees, our spiritual vision begins to dim. We may still pray and read scripture, but our hearts become less receptive to the Holy Spirit's leading. When John speaks about hate, he's not being dramatic. He's being diagnostic. He shows us that when we choose hate, three serious things may begin to happen. First, we step out of the light and we begin to walk in darkness. Second, we align ourselves with the ways of the world rather than the way of Christ. And third, we lose our ability to abide in Christ and to remain receptive to His life and His guidance. Let's take a closer look at each of these together. First, we step out of the light and we begin to walk in darkness. In 1 John 2 verse 9 to 11, John says that anyone who claims to be in the light while hating a brother or sister is still in darkness. And those who love abide in the light and do not stumble. But those who hate walk in darkness and no longer know where they are going, because the darkness has made them blind. We talked about darkness last week, so if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen to last week's episode. Today, I want us to focus on how darkness affects discernment. Proverbs 4 verse 23 tells us to guard our hearts, because everything we do flows from them. In other words, the condition of our hearts shapes the direction of our lives. When hate darkens our hearts, it doesn't stay contained. It affects our judgment, our relationships, and our ability to hear God clearly. John says that those who hate don't just stand in darkness, they walk in darkness. They stumble, they lose direction, and they may sincerely believe that their judgment is right, while in reality, their discernment is being clouded by unresolved resentment. People often say forgiveness benefits the one who forgives, and I can see why. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my life stumbling around in the dark. And if true forgiveness, even when it's difficult, leads me back to the light, then it's worth pursuing with the help of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we align ourselves with the ways of the world rather than the way of Christ when we remain in hate. 1 John 2 verse 15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away. But those who do the will of God abide forever." John names three forces that shape this worldly way of life: the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. Together, these describe a pattern of desire that pulls our hearts away from the Father and slowly reshapes how we see, judge, and respond. The desire of the flesh is about disordered desires. It is the impulse to satisfy my needs or emotions without regard for God and for other people. When this desire takes over, love becomes conditional and people can become obstacles or threats rather than neighbors to be loved. The desire of the eyes is about comparison and coveting. It shows up when we see what others have, status, opportunities, and recognition, and resentment quietly begins to take root. Instead of gratitude, our hearts begin to measure, to compete, and to withdraw. And then there is the pride of life, the need to protect our image, defend our reputation, and prove our worth. This is the posture that says, "I am right, I deserve better, I will not be made small." Pride makes reconciliation feel costly, and it makes humility feel unnecessary. John is helping us see that these forces do not come from the Father. They come from the world, and they are temporary. But if we let them shape us, they will also shape our loves and ultimately our discernment. This is very important because resentment, comparison, and pride don't just affect how we feel, they affect who we are aligned with. When these desires guide us, we begin to respond more like the world than like Christ. We protect ourselves instead of loving, and we withdraw instead of abiding. We justify our distance rather than choosing compassion. And John says this clearly: what we love reveals where we belong. The world with all its desires is passing away, but those who do the will of God, those who remain rooted in love, abide forever. Discernment grows where love remains central. And when we choose Christ's way over the world's way, we step back into the light where clarity and freedom in life is found. Number three, we lose our ability to abide when we choose it. John brings this section to a conclusion in 1 John 2 verse 24, where he says, Let what you heard from the beginning abide in. If what you heard from the beginning abides, then you will abide in the Son and the Father. This verse is the heart of John's concern. Discernment for John is not primarily detecting error out there somewhere. It's about remaining rooted in what we received from the beginning, the life and the teachings and the love of Jesus. John repeatedly warns his community about the Antichrist, those who deny Jesus and separate themselves from fellowship. But notice what troubles John the most. It is not only that they believe incorrectly, it is that their lives no longer reflect the way of Jesus. They have abandoned love, and in doing so, they have broken their abiding. For John, to abide in Christ is not a mystical concept reserved for a few. It's deeply practical. To abide means to remain, to stay connected, and to live from the life of Christ day by day. And the clearest evidence that we are abiding is not spiritual language or religious certainty. It's love. John is echoing the words of Jesus himself. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the commandment John keeps returning to. Love is not an optional extra in faith. It is the way we remain in Christ. When love flows, we stay connected. That is why hate, especially subtle, justified, or the relational kind, it is so dangerous. It doesn't just affect our emotions, it affects our spiritual posture. When we close ourselves from love, we also close ourselves from the life of Christ. And when we are no longer abiding, our discernment begins to weaken. Love is not just a moral virtue, but a spiritual practice. Love keeps us receptive to the Holy Spirit and keeps us grounded in truth. Love keeps our hearts soft and our vision clear. This is challenging, but it's also hope, because it means discernment is not something we have to chase or to master. It grows naturally as we choose to remain in Christ through love, especially when love is difficult or costly or even inconvenient. When we forgive, when we refuse to harden our hearts, when we choose compassion over self-protection, we are not just doing the right thing, we are abiding. And when we abide, our clarity will return. We will begin to hear God's voice clearly and recognize it when He speaks to us. We will become more attuned to His life and His work in our lives. As we come to the end of today's episode, I want to leave you with something practical. Because discernment is not just something we talk about. It's something we live out every day. First, practice honest heart awareness. Take time to ask yourself, is there anyone I'm avoiding or resenting, cutting off? Discernment begins with honesty before God. We cannot guard our hearts if we refuse to examine them. Second, resist the assumption that distance always equals wisdom. Sometimes boundaries are necessary, but not every withdrawal is wise. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern the difference between healthy boundaries and behavior rooted in resentment. Number three, choose one concrete act of love. Love does not start with feelings. It starts with obedience. This might look like praying for someone that you are struggling with, offering kindness even when it feels uncomfortable, or simply asking God to soften your heart. Small acts of love restores our openness to the Holy Spirit. Finally, trust that you are anointed with the Holy Spirit and you do have the gift of discernment. John says in 1 John 2:20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and all of you have knowledge. And later in verse 27 we read, His anointing teaches you about all things. Beloveds, you already have the truth in you and you access this truth by abiding in Christ. You don't have to strain yourself to hear God's voice. As you make your home in Christ through love, clarity will come and light will sharpen your vision. The Spirit will guide your heart as you remain open and receptive. If this episode encouraged you, I want to invite you to follow the Living Love podcast so you don't miss any future conversations as we continue to explore discernment in 2026. You can also connect with me on social media or visit my website at SamanthaShambo.com. That's where you will find Bible study work pages and ways to continue this journey together. Discernment grows in community and life is richer when it's shared. Until next time, keep living love.